Welcome to Tim Bray's Ongoing podcast, which is an audio version of a selection of the articles on my blog, also called Ongoing. I'm Tim Bray. You can find the blog at tbray.org. This is pretty well the same story you'd experience by reading it, but some people would rather listen. Here we go. This piece was published on the 24th of March, 2021, and is entitled XMLWF-K. That's all in lowercase. What happened was, I needed a small improvement to XPAT, that's a link, probably the most widely used XML parsing engine on the planet. So I coded it up and sent off a PR, and it's now in release 2.3.0. There's nothing terribly interesting about the solution or the problem, but it certainly made me think about coding and tooling and so on. Warning, of zero interest to anyone who isn't a professional programmer. I'll just wait for those of you to click stop. Backstory. As I mentioned last month, I took a little programming job, partly as a favor to a friend, of writing a parser in Java to transmute a huge number of antique IBM GML files into XML. It wasn't terribly hard, but there was quite a bit of input variation, so I couldn't be confident unless I checked that every single output file was proper XML. We XML geeks say well-formed. Fortunately, there's an XPAT-based command line tool called XMLWF that can scan XML files for errors and produce human-readable complaints, and it operates at obscene speed. So what I needed to do was to run my parser over a few hundred GML files and then say, essentially, XMLWF star in the output directory, which didn't work because, until very recently, XMLWF would just stop when it encountered the first non-well-formed file. So I added a dash K option, K for keep going, so it could run over 1,000 or so files and helpfully complain about the two that were broken. Lessons from the PR. Most important, I hadn't realized how great the programming environment was inside Amazon. It's all Git, but there's no need for branches or PRs. You make your changes, you commit, you use the tooling to launch a code review, you argue, you make more changes, you probably commit dash dash amend, unless you think multiple commits are more instructive for some reason, and this repeats until everybody's happy and you push into the CI/CD vortex. Obviously, other people might be working on the same stuff, so you might have to do a git pull dash dash rebase, and there might be pain sorting out the results, but that's what they pay us for, right? Anyhow, you end up with a nice clean commit sequence in your codebase history, and nobody ever has to think about branches or PRs. Obviously, some larger tasks require branches, but you'd be amazed how much you can live without them. Finding pull requests. Now that I'm out in the real world, it's how things are done, for good reasons. Doesn't mean I have to like them. As evidence, I offer, and this is a link, how to rebase a pull request. Ew, ick. Finding, coding tools. The last time I edited actual C code, nobody had ever heard of JetBrains, and VS Code would have sounded like a mainframe thing. I found the back corner of my brain, where those memories lived, shook it vigorously, and Emacs fell out. The thing I'm now using to type, or, well, I was using when I typed it, the text you are now reading, by which I mean the words you are now listening to. Oh yeah, that was then. And here's a picture of a bunch of C code displayed in an Emacs window. And the caption says, it's 2021, no really. It worked fine. I mean, no autocomplete, but there was syntax coloring and indentation and whole cubic centimeters, probably, of brain cells woke up and remembered C. Dear reader, back in the day, I wrote hundreds and hundreds of thousands of lines of the stuff, and I guess it doesn't go away. In fact, the number of syntax errors was pretty well zero because I discovered my fingers just did the right thing. Finding, the Mac as open source platform. It's not that great. XPAT maintainer Sebastian Pipping quite properly drop-kicked my PR because it had coding standards violations and a memory leak revealed by the Travis CI setup. I lazily tried to avoid learning Travis and, with Sebastian's help, figured out the shell hand incantations to run the CI. Only on the Mac, they only sort of worked. And in particular, CLang failed to spot the memory leak. The best way to deal with this is probably to learn enough Docker, well, Docker Compose, I mean, to make a fake Linux environment. I was well along the path to doing that when I realized I had a real Linux environment, namely tbray.org, the server sending you the audio that you are now reading, listening to, I mean. Except for, it's a Debian box that couldn't do the CLang format coding standards test, but that's okay, my Mac could manage that after I used Homebrew to install core utils and more utils and GNU sed and various other handsome ecosystem fragments. I mean, I got it to go. But if I do it again, I'll definitely wrestle Docker to the ground first, which is irritating. This stuff should just work on a Mac without having a Homebrew dance party first. C. Well, yeah, we shouldn't diss it too much. Basically, every useful online service you interact with is running on it. But after my -k option was added, CLang found a memory leak in XMLWF, which I tracked down, and yeah, it was real, but it had also been there before my changes. And it wouldn't be a problem in normal circumstances until it suddenly was, and then you'd be unhappy. Which is why, in the fullness of time, most C should be replaced by Go if you can tolerate garbage collection latency, and Rust if you can't. Won't happen in my lifetime. Anyhow, thanks to Sebastian, who was polite in the face of my repeated out-of-practice cluelessness, and hey, if you need to syntax check large numbers of XML files, your life just got a little easier. That's all, folks.